State of Law School's weekly conference call on this Thursday, February 23rd, 2017. This is Peymon Motahede, the founder and president of Freedom Law School, and your host for this weekly program. Every Thursday night, Freedom Law School conducts its weekly conference calls in which I conduct the educational class on the law and your rights, on freedom, on the U.S. Constitution, exposing IRS fraud, the income tax fraud, the Federal Reserve Bank money system fraud, telling you about your rights and helping you solve your freedom law issues so that you can live free of oppressive taxation and control. Because America was meant to be a free country. It was meant to be and used to be the land of the free and the home of the brave. But unfortunately, it has become now the land of the meek and the home of the indentured. We've lost so many of our freedoms, we got to get it back. And if you haven't been to our website at livefreenow.org, I encourage you to do that because you will find a lot of great educational information and answers there. Livefreenow.org for those of you who are interested in living a free life. In addition, since 1996, folks, over 20 years ago, I put together courses, educational material to help you understand the law and your rights and the Constitution and income tax fraud, traffic tickets, legal research, legal writing, made easy. Folks, I make law easy for the average person to understand and use because that's the way it's supposed to be. It is not supposed to be a confusing, complex thing. The problem is no one made it easy for you to understand. And what Freedom Law School does, it makes it easy for you to understand what it's all about and how to make it work for you. Now, Freedom Law School has had since, you know, I'm going to talk about a topic, by the way, tonight. Just, you know, the topic of conference call tonight is going to be about if you are planning to file a 1040 income tax confession form, misstatement of return, how you can minimize the chances of IRS coming after you and putting you in prison. We'll talk about that topic. Now, of course, many of you know my position, opinion, and research that there is no law requiring the average American like you and me to file and pay income tax in the first place. Notwithstanding that subject, which I will talk about a little bit more later on, I know many people, about 2 out of 3 Americans on the average, will and do file a 1040 income tax confession form anyways. And as we covered in our previous conference calls, these people tend to go in prison a lot more often and for a lot longer prison sentences than people who don't file 1040 income tax confession forms. Again, despite all that, many people still file. So guess what, folks? Those filers, I will help you. I will show you tonight, even though you're doing the risky thing by filing the 1040 form, how you can minimize the chance of the IRS coming after you. And if they do come after you, you have a better opportunity, better chance of beating the IRS when they come after you. So number one, the goal is to do it so the IRS does not come after you. One, discourage them from coming after you. Number two, if despite all that they do come after you, your chance of winning are a lot higher, a lot better. Now, what I'll do, of course, at the end of the class on the subject, What I'll be doing is I'll answer any of your freedom law questions you may have, whether it's the IRS, state income tax agency, the police, bureaucrat, abuse of power, traffic tickets, you name it. If it has to do with the government, oppression, try taking away the law and your rights, folks. I'm there to help you. And folks, just to show you how corrupt the system is, folks, I want to just segue into some interesting subject, is that you saw just recently, just the last couple of weeks, the most trusted man in American government is our president. We elected him as a president, and he has authority under the Constitution and the laws to protect us from foreigners and potential terrorists. And he can ban any foreigner or group of foreigners from coming to America. And he did that. President Trump did exactly that. And you have a corrupt socialist legislature from the bench, a judge who's not supposed to be a legislator, act like a legislator, and veto what Trump did in a disguise of a judicial decision. And then the Federal Court of Appeal above that, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal, rubber stamp that. That's one below the U.S. Supreme Court. And you know what's funny about that decision? Not once did the Federal Court of Appeal even mention the language of the law that President Trump was acting under, and analyzed the law versus the actions of Donald Trump. If the president's authority comes from that law, how come the court didn't discuss that? They just ignored it. See, that's what the courts do, folks, in America. They become so corrupt. These crooked judges simply ignore the law. They also ignore the facts, ignore the point you're bringing up. And the judges, and do that to the president of the United States. Imagine how they can do it to you and me, the average American. And they do it all the time, folks. You don't even hear or see about it. That's how corrupt the system is. That's why you've got to take steps, folks, to protect yourself from this corrupt government we have, until hopefully Donald Trump can go and clean up house, clean out the swamp of Washington, D.C., because, you know, Washington, D.C. was a bunch of swampland, you know, and they dried out the water. But you got a bunch of swampy creatures on top of that, these corrupt politicians and bureaucrats to replace those other swampy creatures. Hopefully Trump will clean out that swamp, and we're going to get honest government, honest judiciary, honest executive, legislature coming up. So let's talk about the tax. How do you minimize the chance of the IRS using a 1040 income tax form against you, put you in prison? Well, let's understand, first of all, how is it that the government does use that 1040 income tax confession form against you? Because we got to understand that before we can come to defend ourselves from that. Okay. By the way, I know the IRS calls it income tax return, but remember, folks, you're good people. You're good American people. If you take something from somebody, I know you will return it to them. So what did you take from the federal government that you are returning with that 1040 form? Nothing. You never took anything from the federal government to return it on a 1040 income tax form. So the word return is a lie, is a deception, is a fraud, to deceive you into doing something that you otherwise would not do. In fact, not worse than that, they're deceiving you into a mentality that you owe it. You owe it to the federal government to return to them something that you have taken. Even though you've not taken anything at all from the federal government. So right there, folks, you start seeing the fraud right there, just for the names that they use, the language they use, it's for the fraud and deception. Okay, now let's go, folks. I want you to follow with me if you can, on internet. Whether you have a personal computer, a laptop, tablet, smartphone, I'm going to give you legal citations and IRS forms. You can simply type it up on your computer and it'll come up. Your search engine could be, you know, Bing, Google, whatever else you got to use. It'll all work about the same. Okay. I right now use Google, although I don't like Google because Google started to censor people. So I'm looking for alternatives to you, Google, by the way. They're starting to actually censoring organizations in the search engines things, but that's another subject. So, and I tell you this because I always tell everybody, do not believe me. Do not believe Payman, the president of Freedom Law School. Do not believe the government. Do not believe anybody else out there on the internet either. Your friend, your neighbor, nobody. I'll help you look up and read the law for yourself. We're going to get the IRS form from the IRS's own website. We're going to get the law from the federal government's own website. Okay? This is all verifiable stuff. You can just read it. A law is plain English. You don't have to worry about anybody deceiving you or selling you something. People are afraid to be sold something. Like, no, it's plain English. I say read it. It's English. You all speak it. You read it. It's there. So on your computer, open up on your internet browser tab and type in there 1040 income tax form. Okay, we're going to search for the 1040 income tax form, and it comes up, okay? And now, what you do that, folks, is very easily, you know, a bunch of stuff come up. You can fill irs.gov, the form comes up. So go whatever on irs.gov, the form comes up, okay? And write the comment and open a new tab. The first three things I got was from the federal government. That, to me, the second one I think is the PDF of the form. Yeah, I'm on the PDF of the form. Okay, and open that link in a new tab. Right click on that search result that comes up. Right click on it, and sure enough, for me came out the 2016 right form. It says on the top in big print, 1040 U.S. Individual Income Tax Return 2016. Okay. Now you go to the second page of that after you fill out all the tables on. Two pages of the form. At the bottom of the second page, you'll see it says in pretty big print, sign here near the bottom, right? And above the part that your signature is supposed to go, what does it say? I'll read it with you. It says, under penalties of perjury, I declare that I have examined this return and accompanying schedules and statements, and to the best of my knowledge and belief, they are true, correct, and accurately list all amounts and sources of income I received during the tax year. Okay. Well, to most people, that seemed like not a big deal thing, because after all, you sign the form, it doesn't matter. Everybody signs it. It's just a routine thing, it seems, but it is much more than routine, folks. Right at the very beginning of it, it says under penalties of perjury. I had a four-year degree from a California State University, and I did not know what penalties of perjury means. So don't be hard on yourself if you don't understand what it means. I didn't know either. So look it up, okay? So let's open up a new tab on your computer, okay, and see what penalty of perjury means. Look up penalty of perjury, okay, or penalty of perjury statement, okay, see what it means, okay. And several things come up, okay, declaration on the penalty of perjury, you know, I got USCIS.gov came up. That's a government website, so I like that one. I'll see what it says. Okay, so put your mouse on that result and right click and on that, open a new tab, give the result and search engine. Okay, what does it say? Okay, well, well, that's not a good one, because this doesn't tell you what that means. Okay, let's go do another one. Let's go do meaning. Let's add a word meaning. Okay, see, folks, sometimes you do the search result, you do another one. That's better because that meaning penalty for your statement. Okay. Now that comes up. Okay. There's several of them out there. Okay. Let's go pick Wikipedia. Got one. Came up the first thing. Let's open up, see what Wikipedia says, and open that link in a new tab. Okay. It says sworn declaration. Okay. And it reads a sworn declaration, also called a sworn statement, or a statement under penalty of perjury, is a document that recites facts pertinent to a legal proceeding. I see it's about a legal proceeding, folks. What you did with that form, 1040 form, you started a legal proceeding, a legal form. It's a legal form you need to understand. They always tell you get counsel, seek legal advice before you fill out anything that has legal significance. But great number of Americans fill out this form without understanding the legal meaning of what they're signing. And it says it is very similar to an affidavit, but unlike an affidavit, it is not witnessed and sealed, okay, by an official such as the Republic. Instead, the person making a declaration signs a separate endorsement paragraph at the end of the document stating that the declaration is made under penalty of perjury. So that's exactly what a 1040 form is. Okay. So a 1040 form, in essence, is something that you put in writing under oath. Now, let's skip the next paragraph and go to the following paragraph, okay? Okay. And the third paragraph here, let's go to the last sentence of it, okay? Such an affidavit has several advantages over simple signed testimony, okay? They're talking about affidavits, okay? Okay. The person giving the testimony is subject to penalties if he has lied, usually the felony of perjury. Bingo. There it is. You see, a penalty of perjury means that if you lie, you can go to prison. And the prison term is a serious crime called felony. Misdemeanors are small crimes like petty theft. Okay, armed robbery, you know, larceny, you know, things like that. Grand theft, those are felonies, major crimes. So lying under oath, folks, is a serious crime. So you're saying that if you, in any way, what you said is not true, if it's not complete, if it's missing something, in any way deceptive, okay, that you can go to prison for perjury. For lying under oath. And that's the problem with the 1040 form, folks. That's a problem I'm going to try to remedy for you as much as possible tonight. Is that the form, the 1040 tax form, is made and written in a way, engineered to put a noose around your neck that you sign yourself. You put around your neck yourself. And you pull that rope, put it around your neck, hand it to the government to pull. They may pull on you, they may pull on somebody else, you don't know, but they can. Because the IRS, whenever they come after people to put in prison, people who have filed 1040 confession forms, they always use that 1040 form against them. One of my students, Joe Bannister. Mr. Joseph Bannister was a special agent. The IRS has Criminal Investigation Division as freedomabovefortune.com. You're welcome to check it out. freedomabovefortune.com, or you can go on YouTube and type up, you know, Joe or Joseph Bannister. The speech will come up. Bannister is B-A-N-I-S-T-E-R. And he was a special agent with the IRS for 5 years. And in those 5 years as a gun carrying criminal investigator, his job was to get people for so-called tax crimes. And Joe told me that he was the IRS because he resigned from them in 1999 in disgust, you know, to expose the government lies, IRS lies and fraud. He said, Paymon, in 5 years, I went after four different individuals to put them in prison. All four of them were small business owners. All four of them would use the 1040 income tax forms against them. In fact, he says, one of the first things we always routinely do whenever we want to go after someone criminally, we're told, order from the IRS the copy of the previous years, not 1 year, multiple years, of the 1040 tax form the person himself has filed. And look at that and see what information that gives you to get in for the current year that you're looking at and the previous years. In other words, it was routine for the IRS, what they were supposed to do, the agents, is to look at multiple years of 1040 tax forms and see what they can find in those forms to use against that individual to put him in prison. And see, those statements are signed under oath. People are supposed to be telling the truth on those forms. So as Dancer told me, you know, people have so much information to give them, the government, on those forms, their income, you know, their assets, liabilities, you know, who they've been doing business with. But there's so much information about your life, your financial and personal business life. Listen in there. That, and they give you a list of people you need to contact and organizations and businesses to get information from them to use against you, your bank account, your stock brokerage account, you know, your family members, your employer, your employees, you know, your, you know, if you have rent, renter, you have your tenants. So much information is there, and that's what they did, and they used all that and the penalty of perjury against you in their investigation. Number one. Number two, Mr. Bannister told me that when they want to come after somebody and you and put the person in prison, they use a 1040 form against the individual. And folks, I've seen it myself in court trials. I remember there was this guy was like a doctor that was taking women's eggs and giving it to other women who the eggs were not good to make him pregnant. They couldn't get the doctor for proving that he stole women's eggs from one to another. So what they did is they showed his, and he didn't report all the income supposedly on his tax returns. They blew up the tax returns in front of the jury, huge, like in a big, like a cinema screen. Okay, they put a 1040 on that form, huge, because they have to show, look, he filled out this form, signed it, and it's not correct or complete, all under penalty of perjury. Like I'm a lawyer, the prosecutor always points out, it shows, focuses on the line that says this 1040 is signed under penalty of perjury. And it tells the jury what the penalty of perjury is. And it says, of course, the judge will give you what penalty of perjury means. Also, officially, you will know, the judge will tell you what penalty of perjury means, like I'm telling you. So you know. Why is that such an important thing? Because that's a key thing, folks. The key thing is the information was given under penalty of perjury. I mean, you can just say something to your friend and lie, or say something wrong or incomplete. It doesn't matter. You're just having a conversation or write a letter to somebody. But if you write it under penalty of perjury, give it to the government, now with that, they can put you in prison. Showing you did things wrong or lied is completely secondary. The first key is you signed a 1040 tax form under penalty of perjury, okay? Which is why I call the 1040 income tax confession form. Because, by the way, I got that from the late, great Urban Schiff, who exposed more people to income tax fraud than anybody else. Urban Schiff died a political prisoner last year. Unfortunately, he's a fall of the freedom personality, Peter Schiff, you might have heard out there. He used the word, 1040 income tax confession form. He said, wow, he's so right. This is not a return, it's a confession form. So they blow up the 1040 form with a penalty perjury line in front of the jury. And then they're going to pick on the 1040 form and saying it's not filled out properly or correctly. So the problem is, if your tax return is not a very, very, very simple, short one, you're going to have more stuff in there. And the more stuff you have on that 1040 form, the more chances that you and or your bookkeeper, accountant, CPA, tax lawyer, tax professional does not fully understand what you're putting on there, does not do it correctly, do the way the IRS likes it, IRS agrees with it, and therefore it could be picked on by the IRS, by a special agent like Joe Bannister, to use against you, put you in front of a jury with the criminal charges, and put you in prison with it. So, what I mean by that is, if you're a single person, wage earner, works at McDonald's or Walmart, okay, yes, I'm withholding from your paycheck, no spouse, no kids, it's easy to have a simple tax return. There isn't much in there. You know, you just can put the amount that your company, the Walmart or McDonald's gave you, and the numbers, and see what it comes out. There isn't much there to worry about. You know, you just they overwithhold from your paycheck by force through your employer, and you're just trying to get some money back. And there isn't much complexity to that. So, in a case someone like that, it's not a really big deal. Not much of a risk coming after you because after all, you don't make much money anyhow. And the tax return is so simple. Now, on the other hand, you also have a big corporation like Apple, like ExxonMobil. Okay. These big companies who hire hundreds of thousands or millions of people, these guys have teams of lawyers, accountants, who are trained to do this stuff. That's the job, full time. They have, scores of professionals working on tax returns. And so they don't come after those guys. If you're Bank of America, Chase, you're too big to fail. Anyhow, you're a big bank. You practically own the government. They never come after those guys. They own the government. So if you're super rich or super poor, they'll leave you alone. So who would they come after? Who's at risk? At risk is a guy that makes more than the average person. At risk is a guy that is a professional, someone who lives on commissions, or self-employed or small business owner. Someone that does not have a professional tax, a full-time tax professional guy that really trained in law, takes care of his tax stuff. Doesn't have a tax lawyer at his employ, okay? Or minimum full-time, at least a certified public accountant, at the minimum, because basically someone who has under 50 employees as a business owner, 50, 100 employees, the most vulnerable person, in my opinion, is the small business owner that has only worked for himself, has maybe few employees, maybe 5 or less employees, 10 or less employees, or a professional or commission sales agent. Because you got to do your own thing. You cannot afford a tax lawyer to do this stuff for you completely correct. You need a lawyer to sign any papers to give you some degree of safety. Because you rely on a lawyer to yourself. A certified public accountant, enrolled agent is not enough to give you safety. That I rely on my accountants. Well, they just come in after your accountant also, if they want to, along with you in a conspiracy to defraud the government. So the backbone of America, the small business owner, the commission salesman, trying to go out there, be creative and make things happen. Okay. Network marketing, marketer, you know, professional, first agent, real estate agent, lawyer, chiropractor, acupuncturist, okay, masseuse, simply a professional, you know, nutritionist, you know, somebody, you know, a little printer, somebody out there trying to do his own entrepreneurial thing, plumber, construction guy, computer guy, okay? You guys tend to have expenses and deductions, and you have sometimes depreciation and amortization. I've got to mention a real estate, small real estate investor also, okay? The guy that maybe buys and sells houses as part of his thing, buy part-time or full-time. You guys try to do the right thing, so you think, by filling out a 1040 form, but your situation is much more complex than the guy that works at McDonald's and gets a wage. And you don't have the tax lawyer to help you because it costs too much. Tax lawyers are expensive and hard to find, not to mention some of them are no good anyhow. But anyhow, so you fill out the form yourself as best as you can. And if there's anything wrong with it, they can get you. And how can they get you? Well, the number one thing they get the business owner is this. You list anything on there, any expenses, have all the receipts and record of it available for the government to check to demonstrate that you actually did have that business expense. Well, folks, you know, you can't do that and get your business done. I mean, for example, you go someplace and for business and you go pay in a building, pay for parking. You're supposed to get that parking stuff where you pay $5 or $20 for parking. Keep that in your files as an expense and write a note what it is. This is parking on this day at this guy's office for this. You write a note on that. Keeping your files stapled properly, you gotta be your own accountant. Keep it organized. You also have to go there and get you're hungry, you haven't had anything to eat, okay? And you get a sandwich from the sandwich shop, you get a receipt right on there, you know, lunch at when I was at the business here away from home, an office. I was here taking your business, I'd get lunch, it's $10 for that. I paid for this. You have to keep it there in your records. What was that receipt for? You're asked by it. If you have a business lunch with somebody and say, hey, you're talking about business with one of your potential clients or clients, you paid for lunch, you have to write on there, I was meeting with this person, okay, and we discussed business about this, okay, discuss them buying our new, this system that we got, our new product, or whatever. Yeah, you're going to keep notes on that, tabs on that, because down the road, you might forget. Why? Because the IRS folks can come after you, go back 6 years to come after you on your tax returns. So right now, IRS can come after you. Here we are, February 2017, for the tax return you filed, let's say for your 2016, 15, 14, 13, 12, 11. They can go back to 2011. Longer than that. Yes, they can go 10, 20 years. If the government can show you the same thing, pattern of wrongdoing, even go before the 6 year, because 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th year were all, you've done the same corrupt lies, conspiracy. You can go back beyond 6 years. And you have to keep all those records properly kept in case the government challenges you that those expenses do not exist. In case they claim that these receipts you got for lunch or parking, they're just some you picked up from a building, you just picked up some parking stuff off the floor. You happen to be by the use house, I picked it up, claiming it was a parking. You had no business in that building for parking. The lunch ticket you had, that was not your lunch ticket. You were just somebody else's lunch ticket you picked up clean yet. Lunch. Well, the lunch you claim you had with you was not like forbidden business. You discussed business. You did not discuss business. This was a lunch I had with your friend, having a good time, claiming to discuss business. That was a lie. And the government can ask for the name and phone number and address of the guy you had lunch with and call him and say, hey, did you meet with this person on this date and discuss buying this equipment or product from him or service? And the guy's going to tell the truth. The pastor says, I don't remember that. I don't think so. Guess what? You're in trouble. Because you don't have a person, a witness, to corroborate or verify your claim. And people forget about things down the road. You had lunch with so many people. Maybe you talk to a business client or prospect, you know, and you didn't see the guy a second or third or fourth time. He forgot about you. He might say, I don't even remember this guy. Okay? These are all, any of these folks can lead to a charge and they drag you before the jury. And the jury says, well, of course he's making it up because he can't prove it. The government lawyer told us that. If he had these expenses, he would be able to verify them with receipts, with documentation. He doesn't have it. Okay. Another point to consider is this, folks. The people who are in very much at risk. I know so many sole proprietors, small business owners, one guy by himself. Maybe he got maybe part-time secretary or one employee, you know, working for him or two or three. That's very small business owners. They'll tell me, I come across these people. I say, oh, Payman, I got a great accountant. I got a good Jewish accountant. You know, I got a good accountant, you know, who's a CPA also, all kind of, and, you know, and I pay nothing. I pay no taxes, no income taxes, or very little bit. How much? Oh, maybe only $1,000 or $2,000, or $1,000 or $2,000 or $3,000. And I have to tell them the truth. And the truth is, your tax preparer, your accountant, your CPA is only greasing your way to prison in case your name and number gets called. And I have to explain to them that why. They don't understand what I'm talking about. How could it be? What do you mean? This guy's a great accountant. How could he be in prison in case my number gets called? Well, here's why. Because I said, look, think common sense. Think just simple common sense. Let's think of a business owner, guys, okay? After all of his expenses, all of his legitimate expenses, he makes $50,000 a year. And let's take the guy is single, to make it simple, okay? Single guy, $50,000 a year, okay? And let's say he doesn't have a mortgage, to keep it simple, okay? When you work for yourself, the government expects you to pay both halves of Social Security tax plus Medicare. Because the employee half is about, I think, 6.5%. Employer half is about 6.5%, about 13%. And 7%. And the Medicare is about 1.5%. So you add all those up, comes out about 15%, roughly about 15%. So 15%, 1.5. 15% of that $50,000 is going to go straight to Social Security and Medicare tax. You multiply that comes out to be $4,500. That's not any income tax, folks. That's Social Security and Medicare income tax. Those are income taxes, but they just don't call it that. But still, they're based upon how much you make, based upon your income. So just that itself makes you a felon. If your accountant had you sign a form saying you owe the IRS zero, or one, or two, three, or $4,000, or I did very little bit. Because it's impossible for you to get out of that Social Security and Medicare tax. Okay, what the accountant probably did for you is made up expenses for you that should not be made up, or claim you can things as expenses which you couldn't or should not have done, like let's say your lunch with your friends that was a business lunch you claim, or you know, the parking ticket, that you park someplace, stubs, you know, or something you bought for yourself, but you use that receipt as it was a business expense, but it actually was used in your own home. Okay. They make up stuff, or they just pad up the stuff, pad up the expenses. And that's a lower income in that example. Oh, you only make $20,000, not $50,000. Well, if you're a single person making $20,000, okay, now there's a difference. You don't make that much, and at $20,000 a year, no, you're poor enough that the government gives you an income tax credit. You know, that government actually pays you back if you're poor and don't make too much money. You make a little bit, they pay you money because you don't make enough. Okay. Now, if you have, let's say, a wife and a couple of kids, you can make more. You can make $25,000, $30,000 and actually, you know, get paid there a little bit, if anything. Okay. But this is a typical thing. I see so much going on out there. And a small entrepreneur, the small-time business owner, the small-time salesman, commission person, real estate agent, insurance agent, lawyer, just getting going, okay, computer programmer, construction guy, someone's trying to get something going on the side, mechanic, okay, you're the one that needs every dollar to survive, to make it, because you let go of that guaranteed salaried hourly job. Someone that's at risk. That next month you may not be able to pay your rent or mortgage or electric bill or phone bill, okay? Or have money left over for food at the end of a few weeks. You're the one that has to, you know, make everything you can. You're the one that's most likely going to be up to, you know, you're going to be not doing the numbers the way you should. And your accountant does it for you to survive. You're the one that can come after, and they will come after. Because you're vulnerable and you can't afford a lawyer. So I've always said, who's at most risk? Anybody making between $75,000 to $500,000 a year in that range. You're more than the average person for them to be jealous, but you're not a billionaire to be able to, or a multimillionaire to be able to afford to do everything for you. You're not too small for them to leave you alone. You're not big enough to be able to have all the help you need and lawyers, but you're at that vulnerable stage and they can pick up a return. You don't have these expenses, records, or they're not proper. Same thing with your deductions. They could also pick on you not doing those schedules correctly. For example, a real estate investor, you get amortization, you know, depreciation of the equipment. That's not done right, and that lowered your taxes. Guess what? You just cheated, felony perjury, go to prison. So many schedules and statements you have to attach to a 1040 form. So if you have to attach any schedule statements to a 1040 form, that makes you a bigger target than the guy that I said has. Single guy works at McDonald's, a minimum wage job, and that's all he's got. And there isn't, you know, much to that. So now that we covered who is at most at risk, okay, and again, we're going to cover now how to minimize this damage. But let me make you another example about it, which you should understand. Joe Bannister told me that one of the four business people that he investigated and was charged by the IRS, his accountant was on a stand saying, this is why I did the form this way, this tax form. In this way, and Joe Bannister thought the way they counted this guy did the tax return and record keeping was one legitimate way of doing it. He could understand, see the logic that I can see how the accountant saw that this was a proper way to do the form, fill it out, they keep the records. And of course, if the jury would have seen that and not been told that, well, that's just one way to do it. The jury very likely could and would have acquitted the guy, let him go, because after all, the jury got to convict the person unanimously that beyond the reasonable doubt, the guy was guilty. Beyond the reasonable doubt, the degree of proof. It's a high degree of proof. The government cannot meet that burden of proof if the accountant's theory of how he did the paperwork was in any way halfway legitimate. or could be thought or looked as legitimate because the guy, the victim, relied upon his accountant. But guess what? Not to worry, governments. The government lawyer asked the judge and the government judge, remember the judge is the government employee too, you know, they have government mentality, said, you know what? The IRS agent went on the stand and testified that this is the way those records and papers should have been kept and filled out on a tax 1040 tax confession form. And that is the only correct and proper way to keep those records and fill out the 1040 tax confession forms. So by doing that, the government, lawyer, and judge took away the defense of the poor victim that, look, I relied upon my accountant who told me to do it this way. The accountant did it wrong. You should have known the accountant doing it wrong. You should not just rely on an accountant because he's not a lawyer. That's right, folks. The accountant is not a lawyer. If you rely on a lawyer, that's fine because you rely on someone who knows the law. But the guy that does your tax returns is not a lawyer. Hey, you should have known better yourself. And when that Jew barrister told me, the jury convicted the guy. Whereas without that Jew barrister told me, I could clearly see the jury would have acquitted the guy, let him go. See, that's how it goes. In these tax trials, they got to get a victim. They got to get someone to show out there as an example to the rest of the slaves out to keep you under control, keep you in fear. That's how they operate. So again, how can we minimize these problems? Okay, here's how you do it. Number one, your number one choice, easiest, I'll tell you, is do not follow 1040 income tax confession form. There's no law requiring you to fill out 1040 income tax confession form in the first place. Okay. In fact, I want you to go to the Fear of Losses website, livefreenow.org, and I'm going to show you something before I get to the answer you're looking for. Go to livefreenow.org. Okay. And there, go under on the top center on your education materials and go down and on the drop down menu, go to Eye Opening Education and click on that. And it comes up the page that says how to go to jail by the IRS in 3 easy lessons. Dear American citizen, what kind of actions get you to do some jail time in jail for taxes? Here's how to go to jail for taxes in 3 easy lessons. 1, file a 1040 income tax confession form, the same return by the IRS. 2, pay what you think you owe it. Yeah, pay what you think you owe it. Okay. 3, wait for the IRS to pick on your 1040 income tax confession form and disagree with your confessions and charge you criminally. That's all you got to do, folks. 3 easy steps to go to jail. Because this is exactly what the IRS did to this former chief judge of the U.S. tax court, Judge Krupa, who got indicted with her husband for tax evasion. Let's click on that, folks. Click on that link. Okay. Chief judge of the tax court, folks. Tax court is the court, the federal court that adjudicates, decides tax cases. This woman named Diane Krupa was the person that decided tax controversies between government lawyers and private people's lawyers. She's the one that decided it. She should be an expert. Chief judge. And she was the judge when this happened. Look what it says. This article, April 4, 2016, okay, from Forbes magazine says, former U.S. tax court Judge Krupa indicted for tax evasion, conspiracy, obstruction. Whoa. Tax evasion and conspiracy to defraud the government of tax money and obstruction of government IRS employees of doing the job trying to investigate her taxes, audit her 1040 forms. Whoa, separate felonies. They came after Judge Krupa. Okay, See, this is what it says. A fourth court judge, Ms. Diane L. Krupa, is alleged to have filed fraudulent tax returns while she was sitting as a U.S. tax court judge. Of course, the judge claims it's fraudulent. She and her husband, Robert E. Factor, are alleged to have conspired, folks, to evade over $400,000 taxes. Okay. Well, she did pay on the tax return. They just thought, the government says that was not enough. That was wrong. Go to the next paragraph. Yes. Pay attention to those penalties of perjury statements at the end. Yeah. See, right there. Forbes magazine even tells you. They're trying to tell you sign that form under penalty of perjury. Attention to what may sometimes seem a slippery slope between personal and businesses and business too. And pay attention to what you and your spouse do in concert together. It may not be common for a conspiracy to be between one person and his or her spouse. But that is the allegation here. Each, Judge Krupa and her husband, is alleged to have conspired with the other to evade assessment of taxes. Each defendant is charged with conspiracy, tax evasion, making and subscribing false tax returns, and obstruction of an IRS audit. Wow, so much there, folks. Let's go down further. Let's go down. We can skip the quotation stuff they got on there, okay? let's go to the next paragraph that starts with in the blue, according to the indictment. According to the indictment and documents filed in court, between 2002 and 2012, Ms. Krupa and Mr. Factor conspired to evade their tax obligations. Okay, now let's not write that there, folks. So they came after them for your 2004, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 9 years. 9 years. Remember I told you that they can legally come out here for 6 years? But what the crooked judges, government judges, have allowed the government to do is say, well, as long as the pattern of fraud goes back from the 6 years back, is connected to the 6 year, you're going to go back even further than that. So we got 9 years. Okay? 9 years. Now, and what they charge him with, let's go back up. They charge him with conspiracy is one felony. Tax evasion is another felony. Making and subscribing false tax return, another one. And obstruction of tax, IRS tax audit is another one. Four different felonies. I think one of them may be a misdemeanor. Okay. So some of these charges, you can go to prison for 1 year, maybe a misdemeanor, some up to 5 years. Well, let's just say they can go to prison for only 3 years for each of these four charges on the average. That means for every year of these 1040 income tax confession forms, they can go to prison for 12 years. Four different charges, 3 years of prison each, that's 12 years. Now, 12 years for one tax return. We're talking about here 9 tax returns. Remember, for years 2004 to 2012. So 9 times 12 is 108 years. You heard me right. You heard me right. 108 years. Potentially, this couple can go to prison each for 108 years maximum. Well, they're not going to get that fine. They're going to get half of that, 54 years. Oh, they won't even get that. They're going to get a quarter of that. Okay. 27 years. Oh, they won't even get that. They're going to get only 10% of that 108 years. Right? 18 years. That alone could be a life sentence, folks. You can die in prison. Fill out 1040 income tax confession forms that you don't understand because you think you have to, and you're afraid that if you don't, you're gonna go to prison. Well, here's the opposite. It's true. Even a most knowledgeable authority on income tax law, a judge, a federal judge, a federal tax court judge, the chief judge. She couldn't get it right for 9 years. Look at that, go to prison for over 100 years potentially with her husband. Fill out this form that there's no law requiring her to file in the first place. If you don't believe me, go back to the other page where I have how to go to jail by the IRS and three easy lessons. And you see right there in the middle of it, the video, there's a picture of Joe Bannister. Click on that. Okay, if you click on that, you see that's a speech of Joe Bannister, the former IRS special agent, Freedom of Law School students, who quit the IRS in 1999 to expose IRS fraud on income tax, that there's no law requiring you not to file income tax. That's his speech in your 2000 Rally of Freedom Law School. It's only an hour and a half long, less than an hour and a half. Listen to that, there's more, and do your investigation. Okay, and you'll see. If you listen to previous conference calls the Freedom Law School had earlier this year in 2017, that not filing is a lot safer. But forget about all that right now. We're going to help those of you who are still insistent on filing how to minimize your chance of going to prison. If you still insist on filing, here's what you do. Let's go back to 1040 form. Okay, open up the tab, think of the 1040 form. Income tax confession form, the second page where it says sign here. Remember that? Now, notice the language on the penalty perjuries is the smallest letter font size they use in that form. It's not big, tiny, so you don't read to understand it. And below that, where it says your signature, there's not much room there for you to sign and do anything else. What you should do, you need to make a statement of objection. I'm filling out this form. You must make your objection clear and loud and readable so that the government will see it and the jury will see it. The jury, they're going to take you eventually, if they come after you criminally, will see it. And with that, say, hey, you're not doing this because you want to, you've been forced to do something you don't understand. And that's why you're not guilty. You're just doing something you do not believe you're required to file. But you do it under fear of prosecution for not filing a 1040 form. Out of that fear, you're filling out this form that you don't understand, and now they want to come after you, put you in prison potentially. So that's, in essence, what we're going to put on this form and attach statements to protect you, and the jury will see it, and the government's lawyers will see that, and they're going to say, let's go after an easier target. This is a good chance the jury might see this and let you go, acquit you. So let's go after someone else who's not done this. There's a lot of easier targets out there than you. Here's what you do. When you sign your name, your signature, take an arrow with a pen and go left below the sign here, and then turn an arrow right and put a flash, okay, arrow toward the right side, toward the top of the page. So it clearly shows your signature, you connecting it to that arrow, to that flash, to the arrow, and right on there a statement. Okay. I'm gonna give the statement to write. And you're gonna attach a piece of paper for details. Your statement doesn't have to be exact words that I give you. It could be something close to this effect. So I'm going to give you a longer, and that may fit there. But whatever you're going to write on that left side of the 1040 form, second page, make sure it's very clearly typewritten, handwritten, clearly legible, because you're planning that this might someday go before a jury. And you want the jurors to be able to read your handprint very easily. So you write on there, I am filling out this form under duress, which means I don't want to fill it out. I'm being forced to do so. Because if I do not file a 1040 income tax confession form, which I believe I'm not required to file, which I believe I don't have taxable income, which I believe no law makes me liable for filing and paying income tax, that if I do not fill it out, the government may try to put me in prison for not having filed a 1040 income tax confession form return. Please see the attached statement, which is a key integral part of this 1040 form and my signature, in which I detail out my reasons and explanations of why I'm filling out this 1040 form under duress involuntarily. But I'm doing it and signing it under penalty of perjury anyways. Period. Statement, folks. You made it very clear. Basically, you do not believe you're required to file income tax. You don't have taxable income. You are not a person required to file income tax. Okay? There's no law requiring you to file 1040 form. But you are afraid you're going to go to prison if you do not file 1040. The IRS will come after you. So that's why you fill out this form. But more important, just as important, is see the attached statement, which is a key part of your signature and the statement and the tax and the 1040 form. Why? Why do you have to attach a statement to it? Because of those clever, evil United States Department of Injustice lawyers that go to the crooked brother government judge and they say, judge, you know, he doesn't need to see the attached statement. You know, that's just confusing to the jury. It just repetitious of the same thing that the person put on the second page of the 1040 form. The jury doesn't need to see that. That just may confuse the jury. And the judge will agree, yeah, I agree with you, buddy, government lawyer. Yeah, I'm with you, brother. We don't want to confuse the jury. You know, that's repetitious. We'll just keep that from the jury. What the statement on the side of the 1040 form is enough. And they do that, folks. They, judges, can do that. And that will happen, by the way, when the jury is taken out of the room. That the jury out of the room and just discuss all the stuff outside of the presence of the jury. And your lawyer, your defense lawyer may object. The government, the judge says, nope, I made my ruling, that's it. If you go against me, I'm going to hold you, Mr. Private Lawyer, in contempt of court for violating my order and put you in prison for violating my order. Yes, the judge can does that. And they do it. Let me give an example of this. I was there in court. Irwin Schiff, great Irwin Schiff, a great freedom patriot, was being tried in Las Vegas. It was about 2006, I think it was. And anyhow, what happened in court is that the jury wanted to see the IRS code section, IRS code book, that Irwin Schiff and his co-defendants, the new one, would take to the IRS and demand that the IRS employees open up the IRS code and show them the law in the IRS code that requires the client to file pay income tax. Because the client would say, show me the law and I'll write you a check right now, IRS, I'll pay you right now. Just show me the law that requires me to file pay income tax. And the IRS employees, of course, could never do that. And they never did. Because there is no law requiring the average person to file pay income tax. They never did. So, even though the defendants, Cindy Nguyen and Irwin Schiff, made a big mistake, Cindy Nguyen made a big mistake, in my opinion, not to testify about this, about anything, and about this issue, and hammered home that there is no law because they don't never come show us the law. That was a big mistake. They should have testified, but they didn't. I told them to, but they didn't. The jury on its own noticed that because the IRS agents said that that's what happened. Cindy Nguyen would come and with the Irma Schiff's followers to the IRS saying, show us the law. Here's the IRS code. Open it up. Give us the law. And I'll write you a check right now. The jury asked the judge when they, after the trial, the deliberations, when the trial was done, they were deliberating, discussing the case, the verdict. They asked the judge, Crooked Judge Dawson, one of the most criminal judges I've ever seen to come across. What a crook. Judge Dawson in Nevada. Okay. They sent a note to him, say, Judge, we'd like to see the IRS code book that Ms. Cindy Nguyen took with her to meet with the IRS employees, and a copy of the IRS code from the judge, the court. That's what the note said. Well, the note didn't say more than that, I understand, but you can obviously understand and see why the jury wanted that. The jury was kind of flabbergasted, at least some of them were, that why wouldn't the jury show them the law? Requiring filed income tax. And they, you know, and so they said, well, let's see the IRS code book that these guys took the IRS. And where is the law? And of course, the juries want to see a IRS code book from the judge, naturally, because they want to make sure that the IRS code book that Cindy Nguyen took the jury, to the IRS, was not a fake one, was not a fraudulent one, you know, that had the key code sections missing or cut out. They want to be able to compare it with a good one authorized and verified by the judge. Right? And that's the only reason they would ask for that, right? Well, you think the judge will say, sure, of course. By the way, that IRS code book was in evidence, was admitted into evidence by the government. The government moved that IRS code book into evidence as official evidence for the jury to see. Well, once this came up on behest of the government, I think at the request of the government, the judge removed that IRS code book of Cindy Nguyen that was shown to the IRS agents out of the evidence and said, nope, the jury will not see the IRS code that Cindy Nguyen took to the IRS, nor will I give him another IRS code book on my own for them to see. No, we're going to keep the law away from the eyes of the jury. Only me, the crooked Judge Dawson, will tell the jury what the law is, because I am judge. I am God practically here. And you know what, folks? He was. In a court of law, the judge is practically God. He's got those U.S. Marshals in the back, with the jackets, with guns underneath, and they're ready to pounce upon you and beat you down and arrest you, take you down. Yep. He's God in that courtroom, and that God, evil God, makes those decisions to keep the key defense of you from the eyes of that innocent jury who doesn't know they're being hoodwinked into convicting an innocent American like you into prison for many years. So that's why you say on there, on the note you write on the side of 1040 form, that this note is an integral part, key part of your signature and the 1040 form that you're signing. So the jury will see those words. Then wait a minute, this is not repetitious. You know, the judge cannot tell the government lawyer tries to tell the judge this statement attachment is not necessary. It's repetitious. And then your lawyer could argue, it says right there, it's a key part. It's an integrity as part of this thing. You know, it's a key part of it. You have to show it. It's about this issue of the signature, right? The error from the signature points to this is a key part of the signature and the explanation and this testimony. So they could not keep that from the jury. Okay. So then on the statement, you can go to town. And right now I can type it nicely. Okay, because you can just type on there. Same thing. This is attachment is a further explanation of why I feel like this 1040 income tax return under duress, under force, involuntarily, period. I do not want to sign it, period. I don't believe I'm required to file income tax. I don't believe I have taxable income. I believe this is a complete fraud and scam on me and American people. There's no law coming to file income tax. I've researched it all. I've read the law. I looked it up online. At whatever detail, more to it. Moreover, I'm not an accountant. I'm not a bookkeeper. I'm not good with this stuff. I don't, and I've not read the IRS code in complete detail to understand all of these different provisions about, you know, expenses and credits and deductions and amortization table, this, that, the other, great credits. I don't understand all this mishmash. And the court cases that interpret this court code sections. I just said I'm not required to file income tax, but if I were to file, I would understand how to do it correctly based on the law. I'm being given a form to fill out by the IRS and the media and the tax professionals out there, which I don't understand. I don't want to fill out, but I'm doing it because I'm afraid that if I don't do it, IRS can come after me, put me in prison for not having filed a 1040 income tax confession form. And here I am filling out this confession form, which I don't want to confess to because it doesn't apply to me, because I feel I'm being forced to do so. I'll go to prison if I don't file it. I don't understand the numbers fully. I'm not a bookkeeper. I'm not an accountant. I'm not the best at keeping records. And I have to rely on this accountant, bookkeeper, you know, CPA, tax professional, enrolled agent, whoever, tax preparer, just name that person. I have to rely on this person to do this, keep these books and records for me and put the number here, because I don't understand how to do stuff properly. And they may have done it right, they may have done it wrong. I don't know. So my knowledge of the information on this form is truly minimal. So here I am, filling out this form, involuntarily under duress, and pray to God the government will not come at me, try to make an example of me, and punish me for objecting to this form as a violation of my First Amendment right to free speech, as a violation of my right to redress the government, my grievance to the government. I complain with the government. I'm here expressing my grievance. Grievance, GRIEVENCE, redress of grievance. I'm expressing my redress of grievance in this form. Love to have the government show me the actual statute that requires me to file income tax. And if they ever come after me criminally, I would insist that the jury see the actual statute, not the code, just the statute. Let's say statute and the code that makes me, requires me to file and pay the 1040 income tax. Sincerely, sign and date again. With all that, folks, I call this a poison pill. Well, the poison pill you put on there, you poison a penalty of perjury without taking it away. You see, again, the government paid, government biased, wimpy, crooked courts have said you could not get rid of and cross out that penalty of perjury line. Nope. If you do that, it's no good. You didn't file at all. It must be on there. The penalty of perjury form must be on there, and you are signing the form under penalty or perjury. You're not taking out any of the language of the penalty or perjury line either at all. You're not touching it. You're leaving it all right there. All you're doing is adding to it. That's all. And your addition is expression of your right to free speech and your right to express your grievance to the government. And you want your grievance addressed or redressed by the government, and you have a right to do that, guaranteed by the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. And you put it all right there. And folks, Many Americans don't understand much about the Constitution, but I know a lot of Americans understand this. The First Amendment is about the right of free speech and free religion. They know about First Amendment. Along with that goes freedom of press, freedom of assembly, okay, and freedom of association and freedom to express your grievance and complaint to the government for addressing it, for redress of your grievance. That's all there. You can bring it up to the jury. They respect the First Amendment, most Americans. Whether they know about it much or not, they do respect that and see that. So see with this, folks, the government is much, much, much less likely to come after you criminally, because if you're missing something, well, I'm not a good record keeper. You've done a schedule wrong. I'm relying on my accountant. You know, your numbers are wrong. I rely on my accountant. And he's not there. I'm not a good bookkeeper. I'm not a good accountant. I'm not a good record keeper. You know, a combination of you and accountant don't do it right. I don't understand the tax law to do it right. I don't understand the stuff. I'm doing it because I don't want to. You know, folks, have you ever heard anyone out there, anyone giving you good information, solution like this before you fill out a 1040 income tax confession form? Any certified public accountants? Any tax preparers? Indirect agents? Lawyers? Tax lawyers? No. They don't understand this stuff like Freedom Law School does. They like to act like they do. They know the minutiae of how to fill out these schedules and statements and pay your taxes. Oh, they know that. Definitely, they do know that. Yes. How to play the game of slavery with the government. Play the game. Fill out the forms. Yes, they do know that. Their bean counter is very good. Fill out the forms. But the fundamentals of law and your rights and this whole game of income tax fraud, what's going on and how it meets your rights and challenges your rights and destroys your rights, they don't understand it. And they do not know what to do about it. So I just gave you, folks, as good of a solution as could be found. If you insist, still, after all I gave you, to fill out a 1040 income tax confession form, knowing, I covered in previous commerce calls, close to 95% of people they come after are filers. All the people, Joe Bannister, when he was with the IRS at 5 years, all four of them were small business owners, but convicted. They all went to jail. Tax court judge Kupa, you know, for 9 years, they came after her and husband for 4 years of felonies and misdemeanors, you know, potentially going to jail for over 100 years. She finally paid what she thought was owed. You know, they charged her with everything. And by the way, she pled guilty. On Judge Kupa. You can go on there on Google, but Judge Kupa, KRORUPA, pled guilty. Okay? And it'll come up. Okay. KROUPA is her last name. And sure enough, justice.gov came up. Okay? And well, on October 21st, 2016. Put your mouse on there, right click on it, open the new tab. And there it is, immediate release. Former United States tax court judge pleads guilty to conspiring to defraud the IRS of $450,000 taxes. Right? This is United States Department of Injustice. There it is. Okay? You can see the whole press release of the government right before you. She's not been sentenced yet. So you can, in another few months, folks, later in 2017, you can type it on your search engine of your computer, Judge Kupa, KROUPA, you know, sentenced, okay, for taxes, okay, it'll come up. You'll see, you know, how many years of prison she got. I don't know, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, I don't know, her husband each, right? But what I do see that near the bottom of the paragraph of this thing, go from the bottom. I want to see 1, 2, 3, five paragraphs above. Okay. It says, according to the plea agreement. Read that. There's two paragraphs on the plea agreement. According to the plea agreement, guilty plea, and Krupa's testimony at the plea hearing, Krupa made a series of other false claims on the tax returns, including failing to report approximately $44,520 that she received from a 2010 land sale in South Dakota. Krupa also falsely claimed financial insolvency to avoid paying on $33,031 on cancellation of indebtedness income that she and her husband received. According to plea agreement and Krupa's testimony at the plea hearing, Krupa and Fechler purposely concealed documents from the tax preparer and an IRS tax compliance officer during an audit for their 2004 and 2005 tax returns. Folks, these plea agreements, folks, they don't mean nothing. Just because she said that's what she did, doesn't mean that's what she did. That does not mean that's what she did. Why? Because they tell them, look, you plead guilty, you say these words, we're going to make a deal with you. Instead of looking at going to jail for 100 years plus or 50 years plus, we're going to go easy on you, give you maybe 3 years or 5 years or 10 years. But you got to do this. You got to, on your own, agree to guilty and confess to these facts, scenarios we dictate to you. If you don't say that you did these things, we're not going to make a deal with you. Let's go to trial. Let the jury convict you, because the jury is going to be upset that what? Sure, you're not guilty. You know, they're going to convict you. You can look at get going to jail 1,500 years or more. But that's what they force people to do. They force them by hanging the guillotine over their head. Say, well, we'll not put the guillotine, cut your head off. Just give us your left hand, we cut some of your fingers off. You know, it's going to hurt you, cut a few fingers, but you still got your right hand and a couple of fingers on your left hand still. You know, you'll be okay. You'll survive. You know, well, I don't want to do that either. Well, okay, here comes the guillotine. Let's chop the head off. Okay, no, that's okay, fine. Okay, cut three fingers off my left hand. Rather cut my neck off. So I do whatever you want me to say. You're forcing this judge, Krupa, to say what she has to say. So that's how it works, folks. So I hope you investigate this, folks. Listen to the previous conference calls of Freedom Law School. I explain this issue of income tax fraud very much in detail, especially since early 2017 conference calls, folks. I'll start breaking down this issue of income tax for you very thoroughly, very nicely to educate yourself. I give you links to IRS code and laws so you understand this stuff for yourself very good. Okay? So now that I answered this subject for you, let's go to some of you who may have questions, folks. Every Thursday night, as part of the call, I try to make some calls. Some time to answer your freedom questions. I'm very busy, folks, so I try to help as many people as I can for free on these conference calls. Okay, but before I get to that, by the way, let me tell you this. Next week, we're going to talk about how to best protect yourself if you do not file a 1040 income tax confession form. That's right. If you choose, in my opinion, the smarter way, the easier, the safer way, the lawful way, the way the law is written, not crookedly interpreted by crooked judges. If you choose to not file, the government can still come after you. Yes. So how do you protect yourself there? I will cover that for you on the next conference call, just like I did tonight, if you do choose to file. So if you choose to file a 1040 income tax confession form or not, folks, you have options. You have defenses available to you. You can look at both and decide for yourself which is the best way to go for you. Okay, so let's go now to see if there's anybody with any questions. If there's nobody with any questions, folks, and then I will end the call and invite you to come back next week. Otherwise, let's see if you have anybody with any questions on the call. We have a caller from area code 630. If you have a question, call from area code 630. Please go to announce yourself, give me your first name only, for your privacy, only your first name. And then the state you're calling from, and then your question, please. No questions from the call from area code 630. Let's go to the another caller we have from area code 973 to see if the caller from area code 973 has a question. So, my friend, please go ahead and ask yourself. Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, I don't have a question. I'm just listening.
Very good, my friend. Well, I hope you found the class informative, my friends. I do my best to break down the law that they want to make complex. They want to make it look complex, break it down simple terms for you so you understand it, folks. I invite you to share this information with your fellow Americans. They're being lied to. They're being deceived. They need to hear the truth. Folks, look at how the media in this country is lying about what President Trump is doing, folks. And he said it. He said it on his Twitter. You know, Trump said the liars are ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, right? For the major networks. New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Washington Times. Those are three major newspapers in America. By the way, the same people that own those major newspapers and TV own the other major papers of all the cities. Tampa Bay Times, Miami Herald, Los Angeles Times, the major paper, Chicago Tribune, San Francisco, Dallas, all the major cities and mid-sized cities in America, folks, all of them are owned by the same crooks and criminal rich banksters and corporations that own ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, Times, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal, LA Times, and the major politicians of both parties. Not only do they own the Democratic Party, most of them, they own the crooked Republicans like Lindsey Graham, the warmonger Lindsey Graham, and the double warmongering also John McCain. That's what the media, he's putting his crooks on TV, like McCain. Like, who the heck is he? Because they pump him up because he's a warmonger. He's a crook. He's a criminal. He's a liar, just like Clinton, Obama, just like Bush. They do what they're told to enslave the American people. They're an enemy of the American people, folks. We have enemies of America. Take over this government. You go expose them, folks. In Iran, where I came from, in the 1960s and 70s, I did not have the right to free speech to speak up against the government and expose their lies. I could have been kidnapped, put in prison, disappeared. Summary trial, no trial, torture, execution. Just for criticizing the government. In America, in contrast, you have a right to free speech. I've been saying this stuff for 20 years. The government cannot touch me. They have not even attempted to try to charge me with a tax crime to put me before a jury. Because all I'm doing is expressing my God-given and First Amendment guarantees right to free speech and association, press, and readers and grievances, sharing with Americans, my friends, like you. Now is your opportunity, your chance to share it, folks, with other Americans. There's a saying that says, for evil to conquer, good men need to do nothing. That's it. You don't do anything, folks. Don't share this information with anybody else. The evil will continue to go on. The crooks and criminals in government, politicians, will continue to do this rape of the American people. But if people continue to wake up like they're waking up with Donald Trump, with President Trump, they take this country back. That's happening, folks. We've been in this Great Depression now for 10 years. It started under George Bush. It had nothing to do with either President Bush or Obama. The Federal Reserve, the money system, they're the cause of it, the banksters. Crooked Obama, his campaign slogan was change you can believe in. Remember, go back, look at 2007 campaign, a headline of Obama was change you can believe in. Because people, America, want real change. Well, it was fraudulent change. It was a crooked black president instead of a crooked white president. That's all. No different. Just a face change. As a president, Republicans are sick and tired of George Bush's and establishment politicians. They rejected all of them. We don't want a politician. They're a bunch of crooks. We want someone independent, a businessman, someone who's not dirtied up by politics. And despite all the establishment Republicans and the money people behind them, hundreds of millions supported crooks like Jeb Bush, the sellout, what's the guy, Florida Senator, what's his name? Rubio. Okay. Yeah, and all his others, they all lost, okay? One after another to Trump. Then at the presidential contest, the entire establishment, completely the media, and the big money, they were all in support of Hillary Rodham Clinton, that murderous bisexual woman whose only daughter is not even with Bill Clinton, is the child of Wes Hubble, Webb Hubble. Check it out, folks. Webb Hubble is the real father of Chelsea Clinton. They when they get to that like crook, they're all blind up behind her. That's how crooked her system is. But people rejected that. People are waking up. And Donald Trump himself, who's smart guy, is waking up more and more. He's seeing more and more the media, the quotable establishment. He is seeing the Department of Injustice has a bunch of crooks in there who will not follow his orders to enforce the law. He is seeing that the so-called intelligence agency, the CIA, these crooks are embedded in there. They want to take out him as a president. He's going to clean out the intelligence agencies, the CIA, and all these agencies of these corruption so deeply embedded into NSA and IRS and CIA, all that stuff. He's going to do that stuff. And we'll do the same with the IRS folks and the Federal Reserve. We've got a president who's awake. This president is smart. Trump is very smart. Knows that he didn't get to be successful like that, being a dummy. Get people to get behind him and take our country, our government back to we, the American people, once again. So please share this conference call and the previous calls on your Facebook. Email it to your friends. Contact us at livefreedom.org. We'll send you the freedom education packages for free to mail them out to you. Free Joe Barron's speech and income tax fraud, free mail that to you. But it does this if you want. Get out to groups, meetings, share this information, send a link to these web pages of Freedom, Freedom Law School. About Judge Cooper going to jail, by Joe Barron's speech, all that. Get it out there, folks. And it's fun. Have some fun with it like I'm having fun with it, folks. And thank you very much for being in me, for supporting Freedom Law School, for educating yourself and really caring America. Caring for America to be at this cause, educating yourself and sharing it with your fellow Americans. Come back. We'll have an exciting conference call next week also. Good night, everybody.